Hi, I'm Message Mon. Spiritual warrior, truth seeker, researcher of life, musician, music producer, video editor, web developer, graphic artist. What else can I add to that? I do some other things, but that's enough for now. I have an amazing story I'd like to share. It's a story unlike any story anyone has ever told before, because it's all true and all very bizarre and magical. That's the key word. The magical part is what's going to freak you out. Anyway, before I tell the story, I have to figure out a starting point, because my whole life is a story. I could start at birth and tell story after story after story. But right now, for this segment, I'm just going to fill you in on the ritual and how I began doing rituals on top of hills and mountains. And it started from a cocaine habit. I had a bad cocaine habit, and the cops came in my house with guns drawn and busted me and took me to jail. And because of that, my landlord kicked me out of my apartment, and I had to live in a van. And because of that, while I was living in the van, girls moved in. So this is going to start with Karen. She was living in my van at the time I want to start this story. And she was a cocaine addict too. Pretty little white girl from Mississippi. She talked with a twang, and she was going, "James, I want some cocaine. I want some cocaine." And at this point, I was just tired of buying cocaine and fucking her in that van, which was fun at some point. But, you know, at this point, I had to do something about this cocaine habit, because it was kicking my ass. So what I did was I took the van and Karen and her dog and my dog, and we drove to the top of the headlands in Dana Point. It was a calm day and a hot day. I remember I parked the van and I told Karen, I go, "You stay here." I got out, I had flip-flops and shorts on. I put on a long white coat I used to wear on stage. I grabbed my dog on a leash and I grabbed my Bible. I didn't know what I was gonna do up there, I was just going. And as I started to walk up the hill, it was maybe a quarter mile or a little bit longer, the wind started to blow. The closer I got to the top of the hill, the more profusely the wind started to blow. And when I was up on the, when I finally made it to the top of the hill, the wind was blowing my jacket like a flag. And you could see it from the Coast Highway driving by, if you happened to be driving by that day. And I just prayed. I said, "Lord, help me get this monkey off my back. Show me what I need to do." And at that point, something made me hold a Bible up and put it in the wind. So I held the Bible up into the wind. The wind blew through half of the Bible without a page folding, and all of a sudden a page folded, and pages started to fold after that. That was my message. That was my instruction. And after the wind blew through the Bible, I just took it and mashed the pages together and walked back down the hill. The wind stopped blowing, and I got in the van. And I went and got Karen and I some cocaine. We did the wild thing that night in the van on the cocaine. Anyhow, I don't know how long it was after that I finally opened up the Bible to see what my message was. It wasn't that day. And the first page that folded in that Bible, which is halfway through the book, was like a finger pointed straight to Psalms 1. And it was the Psalms 1 that would let me know about the magic and the synchronicity in life, because after I read it, I highlighted in green with a highlighter. I highlighted that verse in green, and that was the only verse highlighted in my Bible at that time. So I had to go through time in jail, and I couldn't take my Bible into the jail with me. So once I got into the barrack, I started hunting for a Bible, you know, like where they keep the newspapers and books and stuff like that. And so under a stack of newspapers, I found a Bible. It was in bad shape. The covers were ripped off of it, but the pages were still there. So I took it back to my bunk, and I thumbed through that Bible, and lo and behold, there was one verse in that Bible that was highlighted in green, just like mine. It was Psalms 1. couple of months later into my sentence, I discovered there was a piano in the chapel, so I wanted to go in and play some piano because I hadn't played it in a while. So I went in and asked the chaplain if I could play a song I wrote called God's Magic. He said, sure, fine. I played it, and the inmates loved it. They clapped, they stood up, they applauded, and I had to go back and play it every Sunday when they had church for the rest of my sentence. One Sunday I was in there, and I happened to look down onto the floor, and there was a bookmark, and it had some flowers on it, and it said, True Happiness. I picked it up, and when I flipped it over, there was Psalms 1 again. Now, that was three times Psalms 1 had come to me in strange ways, and I'd never read Psalms 1 before in my life, and that was the verse, once I got out of jail, that just stuck in my mind, that I lived with, and it helped me not to go back and do cocaine again. It took away my desire to go out and hang out with those people. Matter of fact, I just let them all go. So it was the magic on that hilltop in the Psalms 1 that made me start going to that hilltop all the time, walking the dogs, praying, and stretching my arms out, reaching for the heavens, for all of Coast Highway to see. I started doing that in 1988. So after I got out of jail in 1988, I had to pull my life back together, and I did that by playing in bands around town and getting popular again. And I got this house gig at a club called the Crown House. It was on Coast Highway in Crown Valley, right across the street from Nicole Brown's parents and her childhood home. Now, I didn't know who Nicole Brown was, and this was before she was murdered. So in 1992, that restaurant burned down with all of my equipment on stage. So I lost everything in that fire, and they had no insurance to reimburse me, and the restaurant sat there burned for 4 years between 1992 and 1996. So in 1992, that was part of my ritual between 92 and in 94 when Nicole was murdered. And when Nicole was murdered, they put the very first foundation in that parking lot. So I would, go up on the top of the hill, do my prayer thing, and then come down, drive through Dana Point, and go to the restaurant and peer in the window or through the door at my burned equipment. That was part of my ritual. I'd see Denise out in the parking lot walking her dogs, but I didn't know her, and I didn't know how I was going to introduce myself to her and try to get involved with her purpose. Because she was on a purpose then, a purpose-driven mission. So, in 1996 is when the ritual on the mountain started. That's when I finally got to the top of the mountain. And Nicole had been dead for 2 years by the time I got to the top of the mountain. And I'd been driving by her foundation for 2 years and never met them. And so, once I got up on top of the mountain, I started clicking bracelets together on the full moon on the top of a pyramid-shaped mountain, and I started a ritual. And the ritual is documented on my website, messagemon.com. Just click the ritual, and it goes through the whole mountain thing. But that's when I got up on top of the mountain, and I started doing my ritual. I did it for about 6 months before I got any results. But remember, I'm praying for purpose. I'm praying for, guidance. What's my purpose? What's my mission? And after 6 months of a ritual, it all happened. That's when it happened, and it was magical the way it happened because I had nothing to do with it, but my family did. And that's the story of OJ's balls. I really believe that I conjured OJ's balls up by doing a ritual because OJ's balls changed my life.